Hey, Prime members, you can listen to the Al Franken podcast ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, everybody, we've got a disturbing one today, you know, for a change. Malcolm Nance is my guest. Malcolm is an extraordinary guy. His career was in Navy intelligence. He came to the nation's attention in 2016 with his bestseller, The Plot to Hack America. And that came out before the fall election that year, warning us that the Russians were doing everything they could to defeat Hillary Clinton and to elect Donald Trump to the presidency. That had been ordered by Vladimir Putin. The Internet Research Agency, a troll farm based in St. Petersburg, Russia, created thousands of social media accounts to do everything they could to help Trump get elected. The Russians hacked the DNC, gave that to WikiLeaks, which coordinated with Roger Stone to time those releases of those. The day before the Democratic National Convention, they released internal DNC emails in order to sow discord between the Bernie people and Hillary's people. The Russians hacked John Podesta's emails. WikiLeaks released that the day after the Access Hollywood tape. Podesta's emails contained nothing of interest except that he liked cheese pizza that he got from a popular DC pizza parlor, Comet Ping Pong. Cheese pizza. CP. Chow porn. Now, today you'll hear Malcolm talk about how a good 25% of today's Republicans believe that Democrats have pedophilia rings, kill children, and drink their blood. You remember that Trump campaign manager Paul Manafort gave Russian intelligence officer Konstantin Kalimnik Trump campaign internal polling data on Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, and Michigan. And using data that the Trump campaign had obtained from the data of tens of millions of Americans from Cambridge Analytica, remember that? Cambridge Analytica had gotten that data from Facebook in violation of Facebook's consent agreement with the Federal Trade Commission, and they paid a $5 billion fine to the FTC for that. So if you were a Black American in Detroit, or Philadelphia, or Milwaukee, who on Facebook had expressed interest in Black Lives Matter, you were bombarded with stuff on Facebook at the last months of that campaign, including ads on Facebook paid for in rubles. I was at a hearing the next year in 2017 with the chief counsel from Facebook. I asked him if they would commit to not taking ads paid for in rubles. He wouldn't. Finally, he said, well, I can't do that because anyone can convert any currency to any currency. I said, why would anyone convert their currency to rubles to take your ads? And he couldn't answer that. So these ads on Facebook, if you were on Facebook, you were bombarded with a statement that Hillary had made in the 90s about young Black men who had been called super predators. The undervotes in those cities, in Detroit, in Milwaukee, in Philadelphia, those undervotes elected Donald Trump president. So when we look at the horrific decisions by the Supreme Court, please remember, this Supreme Court with Gorsuch, Kavanaugh, and Coney Barrett. This is the Putin court. And Malcolm Nance warned us, and he is warning us now. His new book, They Want to Kill Americans, is not talking about the Russians. It's talking about Americans who want to kill Americans. These are members of militias. These are insurgents. This is MAGA folks who believe Democrats, like me, drink the blood of children that we murdered. Malcolm is a patriot. A few months ago, he traveled to Ukraine and to fight alongside Ukrainians against Putin's army. We talk a little about that. He is going back there very soon. I think you'll enjoy this conversation, but also find it disturbing, you know, for a change. The best way to learn a language? Immersion. Living where the language is spoken and using it every day. But if that's not in the cards this year, you can still learn a language the second best way, and that's with Babbel. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Babbel's convenient courses have helped me learn real-life conversation in German. For example, let's say you wanted to order soup with your dinner. Die Suppe würde mir auch gefallen. That means the soup. That means I would also like the soup. And that way, I get soup with dinner. Here's a special limited-time deal for our listeners. Right now, get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/franken. Get up to 60% off at babbel.com/franken, spelled babbel.com/franken. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Do you ever feel like you're settling? For your foundation, that is. Maybelline's new Instant Age Rewind Eraser Foundation doesn't settle into fine lines and wrinkles. With SPF 20 and moisturizing Pro Vitamin B5, this foundation not only provides medium coverage and a natural finish, but also protects and nourishes your skin. And the best part? The blurring sponge tip applicator makes application a breeze. Say goodbye to cakey, uneven foundation, and hello to a flawless, radiant complexion. Try our new foundation today and see the difference for yourself at amazon.com/instant-eraser-foundation.
Were you just in Ukraine or what?
Yeah, until, what day is it? Until Saturday, midday Saturday, I was in Ukraine.
Well, I think everyone knows you're in Ukraine. What were you doing there exactly?
Well, I'm in the Ukrainian army. I was a member of the International Legion for the Territorial Defense of Ukraine. So I was on contract with the Ukrainian Armed Forces.
Now, you're intelligence, naval intelligence.
Yes.
So I would think that they didn't put you in the infantry in the eastern, or is this all secret? But did you help them with intelligence stuff? Is that what you did?
Well, actually, for the first couple of months, first off, everyone in the Legion is infantry. Everyone. So, You know, I went through infantry training. I have combat training. I went through commando course. And but I did do activities of a classified and clandestine nature. Let's just put it that way.
And can you tell us what those were?
No, not at all. We're in a war. And we can remain in a war. And I would like to keep my Russian opponents guessing.
I see.
But it had impact, profound impact in some ways. Good. On the other hand, that comment you made about I'm not in the East and in combat on the front line. Surprise! I'm in the East and I'm on the front line. So,
really?
So I've gotten both sides of the coin there. But I am a combatant. I carry a firearm. I was just asked that by the U.S. When I came through Customs and Border Patrol, they gave me a little interview on my way in. It's pretty well known. I'm a very high profile person. And most importantly, the day after I made my announcement on April 19th, which Ukrainians wanted to get out there, they wanted to launch and have the International Legion recognized, and I was the most you know, they didn't want one of my former colleagues.
You're the biggest target for the Russians.
Yeah, well, they said that too. But the next day, I was on the show, the roundtable show that is hosted by a woman named Olga Skabeva. And she is commonly known as Putin's mouth. Everything that comes out of her mouth comes directly from Vladimir Putin. She and him, you know, she's like the Tucker Carlson of Russia. Most popular show.
And you know who else is the Tucker Carlson of Russia? Tucker Carlson.
So the next day, I was broadcast. My interview almost entirely was broadcast on Russian state television on her show, where she said, Malcolm Nance, the mercenary soldier of fortune. She represents literally the words from Putin's mouth. And that day after, my name was put into the Kremlin Vladimir Putin's briefing. He saw my interview via her show. But as much fun as that is, it's more important that the brothers and sisters in the International Legion know that, you know, I don't mind being the lightning rod for politicians and whatever. Just know that, you know, the reason I joined was sincere. I don't get anything out of it. I lost a 5-figure salary monthly to be in the Legion. I'm a mercenary for $630 a month.
No. Thank you for doing it. And God, you know, it's so tragic, so tragic. And the Ukrainians are so amazing, so brave. Zelensky, and our hearts are just breaking every day.
Yeah, it's terrible.
The casualties are so high. And Putin, my God. And you know what? We just had the Supreme Court, this horrible end of session, end of the term. And it's kind of Putin's court. I mean, you wrote about this. You were the first one to write about this, about how what the Russians are doing in the election. I contend, and I want to know your opinion of this. The Russians, what they did was end up sending that election to Trump.
Right.
Am I right? I mean, everyone goes like, well, you can't tell what the effect was. You can't say if it changed any votes. And like, bullshit.
Yeah. There was an effect, and it was measurable. And the only thing I did was very, very early on, before most of the news media could get it. And I'm quite surprised. I've learned over the last 7 years working with MSNBC, I'm really surprised at the lack of depth of analyses that actual journalists do. They are very dependent on get two sources, make sure it can be corroborated, make sure you dot your I's. But when it comes to actually seeing what's before their eyes, and this is where the Russians were brilliant. I wrote about this in my book, Plot to Destroy Democracy. They understand that the carrot has to be at the end of a stick, and it needs to be so big a carrot, and it needs to be dangled in such a way that the Western media could understand and will go after it. And they learned that from 70 years of Soviet study of the American media. They really had, you know, their PhDs and scientists were really studying us, understanding where the fault lines of America were. So when the Soviet Union collapsed, those records didn't go anywhere. Putin was a KGB officer. He knew all about these fault lines in America. So they just decided to give us the biggest dangle. But what they also did was they co-opted the evangelicals. They co-opted the National Rifle Association to the point where the first question Trump was asked in a press conference was by an FSB spy, Maria Butina, about, are you going to have great relations with Russia or are they just going to be awesome?
She asked the first question? Wow.
In July,
I did not remember that.
I want to say July of 2015. She asked at a convention in Las Vegas. And she was part of this setup to co-opt the entire American conservative movement, because for 10 years, Putin had been doing that to conservative movements all around Europe.
Well, let me say one thing about him co-opting the evangelicals. Trump did a good job of that himself by saying, I'm going to let the Federalist Society and the Heritage Foundation approve. You know, they're going to tell me who goes on the Supreme Court. And that's why I call this Supreme Court the Putin Supreme Court.
Yeah. Well, you know, interesting fact, Putin for a decade or more was holding these Defense of Christianity conferences in Moscow. And he courted only the most extremist right wingers to these conferences, to the point where the mainstream started coming. And he became friends with Franklin Graham, if I'm not mistaken.
What I meant by that was it was Trump's decision and a brilliant one. For as stupid as the man is, brilliant one to say, okay, I'm going to have the Federal Society pick my Supreme Court justices, because that signaled to the evangelicals. But what I'm saying is the Russians, by using the Cambridge Analytica data to target blacks on Facebook who had expressed interest in Black Lives Matter and reminding them that Hillary had used the term super predators, that they were suppressing black votes in cities like Detroit and Philadelphia and Milwaukee. Let's move on to, because that was you being ahead of everybody in that case, and brilliant. So this book, They Want to Kill Americans. Mm-hmm. Now, at first, before I opened it, I thought, the Chinese? the Russians? No, it was Americans, and it is these right-wing kooks, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, when I came up with that title, I was having a conversation with a friend, and I said, you know, if I were to actually name this book, because we were thinking like the Trump insurgency, and I said, if I were actually to name the book that I want to name it, I'd call it They Want to Kill Americans. And he was like, why not? I said, okay, let's do it. I want to just call it straight to your face. I want the reader to look at that and go, whoa, who wants to kill Americans? And when you look at the cover, it's the noose that was being set up in that quote unquote piece of art for the vice president, for Mike Pence. And these people are sincere.
Yeah. And as I read the book, I'm going, not only are they sincere, but there's a whole shitload of them. I just never realized, how many people fell for the QAnon shit.
Oh, my God.
When I first heard this, okay, Democrats are involved in pedophilia rings and drinking, killing kids and drinking their blood. And I went, okay, well, that's not a problem. No one is going to believe that. I mean,
right now, the number of people that believe that is somewhere on the lines of 20 to 40 million Americans. That's the people who are now the base of the Republican Party. And by chapter 8 in that book, where I talk about, you can actually see the path of co-option, how QAnon took over the Republican Party. And here's the worst part. I finished that manuscript a year ago. And so I had written in that book that within 1 year, the Republican Party would be completely co-opted by QAnon ideology. For months, the Republicans would not let anyone into the Trump rallies or conventions with QAnon t-shirts or paraphernalia. When they had CPAC, was it a month ago? Or a month and a half ago, something like that?
Yeah.
That's all out the window. All right, now QAnon is the core of the Republican Party. And they don't say it out loud. They don't go, yeah, let's kill all the liberals. And Hillary Clinton did adrenochrome and is killing, sucking the blood out of children, Christian children, in order to stay young. That's considered a given now in the Republican Party. And if you don't believe that, if you don't use the QAnon motto, where we go one, where we go all, you're not considered a true MAGA. You're not considered a true believer. It has completely eaten that party.
There was a moment where it was like a town hall or a one-on-one interview with Trump, and he was asked, this is Samantha Guthrie, is it at NBC? And she asked him, what do you think of QAnon? And I'm going like, well, this is easy. They're nuts, And he went, I don't know anything about them other than they're against pedophilia, and I am. And I went like, really, really? You're going to you can't even say they're nuts. And I guess, oh, boy, how wrong was I?
A part of that interview, he also said, I know they like me, which is
that's right. That is his yardstick for anything.
Yeah. You know, if they had said, Klaus Barbie, do you like him or not? He would have been like, well, if he likes me, I like him.
What's scary about this book, first of all, is just how many of these people there are. And we're talking about these extremist groups, some of which I hadn't heard of. I mean, I know the Proud Boys. I know the Oath Keepers. I know some of the groups you're talking about. A lot are ex-military or in the military, including people who were arrested at the Capitol.
Right.
And police. Police or ex-police, right?
Yeah. As many as 20-30% of the people arrested at the Capitol were military, ex-military, or police. That's 1 in 4 or 1 in 3. And that's the ones we know about, right? Those are the people who were arrested, not the people who were to attend it. There's a high police presence. And some of the people that were arrested, for example, in Virginia, these two deputy sheriffs, I mean, they fought tooth and nail with their police union. And why should they be arrested because they went into the Capitol? And they had bought their firearms because they bought their police badges. There's a DEA officer.
Were these one of the first guys in? One of the first guys in? Yeah, you're right about them.
Bought his badge and flashed it to the other cops and showed his sidearm to the Capitol Hill police as if, yeah, it's okay. I can come in. I'm just here to, you know, execute, you know, our political leadership.
But then they start fighting them, right? Because they said, no, you're stopping us and you're therefore you're traitors or whatever.
That's right. And now any cop at Capitol Hill police is no longer considered honorable amongst the MAGA crowd because they fought. DC police fought the National Guard. But you're talking a movement that technically right now would honor Timothy McVeigh if Timothy McVeigh were alive after bombing the Oklahoma, you know, the Murrah building in Oklahoma City. That's what we've come to.
Well, what's concerning about the book is you go kind of in chapter and verse in what they can do. And you're not telling them what they can do, but you're scaring,
scaring me. You should be. You should be.
This has been a bad month. I'm scared at many levels. I'm alarmed at many levels. And this just added to it. It's important to know this stuff. But it's a chilling, in many ways, it's a chilling book.
This is the prelude to the Civil War. It's technically what I did in Ukraine. When I went to Ukraine in January, I went in there to see what would the Russians invade with, how would they invade, which way would they invade, and what would the results of that be. Well, this is it's not just, you know, a handbook so that you can, you know, do fantasy baseball on the end of the American democracy. It just plays out that way because we are teetering on the edge of the end of American democracy. And these people, not me, these people want civil war. And they are saying it out loud. And they are saying it proudly. They have devolved into a tribe. And as far as they're concerned, Donald Trump is their tribal chief. They don't see the phrase white supremacy as a negative anymore. They see white supremacy as a birthright that they were given.
Of course, we see this great replacement theory lead to these mass murders in Buffalo and El Paso. You go through the one in El Paso. But one part of what scared me are the different capabilities you talked about, like going after the grid and using drones. Like, you know, you don't need be a suicide bomber anymore. You can have a robot truck, you know, drive a truck in something robotically. I mean, it's very disturbing.
Well, you know, in my business, the intelligence business, intelligence is no good if I come, you know, it's like the telegram that comes to Admiral Kimmel, right, 10 minutes after, you know, the USS Arizona, blows up and rolls over in Pearl Harbor. And it says, be on the lookout for Japanese activity around Pearl Harbor. Right. This book is no good after the next phase of the insurrection, or as I call it, the Trump insurgency in the United States, using the acronym TITUS, Trump Insurgency in U.S.
Yeah.
And these people are very serious about this. I thought this would break after the insurrection on January 6th, because, you know, I predicted this. I predicted it on Bill Maher's Real Time with Bill Maher.
That's right.
On November 6th, 2020, that we were going into insurgency when, you know, poor Bill, God bless him, was singing Kumbaya. Time to, you know, join hands and put away the animosity.
You were on just after it had been announced, right, that Biden won.
Actually, I think he called it on the show in
like
2 hours, they called it. And they pushed the price of AR-15 ammunition up from 39 cents a bullet to $1.25 a bullet. That's how much ammunition they're hoarding right now. For the last year, they've been buying every bullet available on the market and, in some instances, reselling it for profit. But they're preparing for an onslaught. So I wrote this book as a warning. It is a red, signal red, Claxton blaring, go to battle stations warning that bad things are coming.
Now, let me ask you about this, because you've been following the January 6th hearings. I assume.
It's a little hard between artillery, but I try.
Yeah, that might have been hard there, but you probably caught up.
You have caught up.
What happens, you know, everyone goes like, I've been saying, my God, he has to be indicted. Just the call to Raffensperger.
Right.
Is that's prosecutable. I mean, there's no question about that, right? So, but everyone's going like, is Garland going to do this? And I've said, and I'm not the only one, that the only thing worse than indicting him is not indicting him. But what happens when and if he's indicted?
Well, this is part of the problem, is that they are showing Trump so much deference to the position of the president, of a former president, that apparently not just he, but even all of his senior staff can get away with breaking multiple laws, including conspiracies to sedition. I am under no belief that Donald Trump will be held accountable at all. None. There are too many proceduralists at the Justice Department. There are people who are literally afraid of power now, because they are good and kind people who believe in what America is about. But the Republicans believe in raw power. And I think that the next time that they get hold of raw power, they will dismantle American democracy. Totalitarianism now. And, you know, they're part of Putin's axis of autocracies, turn America into an autocratic state. And now they are motivated not out of fear of the people in the Trump insurgency. They always were those people. And now with the guns behind them, they feel they have their backs covered. The sheriffs support them. The mayors support them. The governors support them. This insurgency could come down to 10 or 15 rebellions, like before the Civil War, where they, you know, maybe they don't declare secession, but they will declare they will no longer abide by the laws of the federalist system established by the founders. And you could have state legislators, governors, and national guards back them and start seizing armories. Does this sound vaguely familiar? I'm thinking Charleston, 1861.
Yeah. There are a number of scenarios how this might work out, right?
Yeah.
And some of it is just more guerrilla kind of stuff.
Well, that's a component of it where, you know, I equated the Republican Party today was transforming into Sinn Féin, the political right wing of the Irish Republican Army, where they would go into parliament. They would get members elected as members of parliament and state the case while facilitating funding and coordinating with the Provisional Irish Republican Army terrorist group. and I'm going to get some controversy on this. There are a lot of people out there in the Irish hinterlands who believe none of that's true, right? Despite the fact that whole volumes of books have been written by the participants. So the same thing's happening here. There are possibly hundreds of McVeighs organizing and now communicating with each other freely. The militia movement and the right-wing extremist movement of the 1980s, which was their biggest payday of the order, which was named after a fictional terrorist group of the book in the Turner Diaries that blew up the FBI building. The same plot that Timothy McVeigh took from that book to blow up the Murrah building. These people are now coordinating, communicating, exchanging money, and money is coming from the skies to them.
Let me ask you this. Would it be a bad idea for me to acknowledge to them that I'm Jewish?
Well, yes, because and you know what? I'm sure they would have figured it out at some point.
Yeah.
The whole comedian thing.
They have good Judar.
Jadar is how they say it in Israel. We have gone back now to the 1920s in terms of the level of anti-Semitism that I'm seeing in their literature. The whole Protocols of the Elders of Zion, a copy was being read by a Capitol Hill policeman in the weeks after the insurrection. He's sitting on watch at the X-ray machine reading the Protocols of the Elders of Zion, and it wasn't for a terrorism course or a Judaism course. It was being read out of pleasure, which, of course, is the fake Russian document that says Jews are running the world global economy and set forth the Holocaust. So, you know, people here are view, you know, in the right-wing extremist world, especially in the far right, that Jews are the cause of blacks being uppity. Jews are funding secret cabals. Jews are running the, you know, the child blood drinking groups that are kidnapping every child in America and in the world and human trafficking them in deep underground military bunkers connected by high speed trains.
I just wanted to point out to the listeners that none of that is true.
No, and I had to write that. If you read the chapter on QAnon, the first three paragraphs end with, no, I'm not kidding.
Yes, you're not kidding. I'm just saying that what you were saying
is
that they think, what they think isn't true.
These people have come to embody this in their hearts. And, you know, now I really see it. I really see the rise of how, what is it, the average German became a Hitler-adoring Nazi.
And he did it without the internet. And boy, oh boy, is that a driver of this, isn't it? I mean,
absolutely is. This is their vehicle. You go on patriots.win. And that's the website that took over from DonaldTrump.com. And it's just a big honking bowl of crazy over there, right? The government's going to collapse and Donald Trump will ascend to heaven and then become president again tomorrow at 3:55. And if it doesn't, the Jews stopped it. We have gone to the point where people look at the average person, the average. I'm going to be honest with you. This is an almost purely white middle class, upper middle class phenomenon. It's not poor whites. It's white. I think there was, I just learned from Jason Johnson, there was a study that the average Donald Trump funder was a businessman, of upper middle class, the person with the boat and the spare beach house. And they believe all of this. They're the ones buying guns and ammunition. And we're in trouble.
We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with Malcolm Nance.
Audible is the destination for thrilling audio entertainment with highly anticipated new releases. The time is now more than ever to embrace the breathtaking, sinister, and shocking tales that can enthrall you, especially with brand new exclusive thrillers from best-selling authors who are guaranteed to keep you gripped, like Amy Tintera's Listen for the Lie. With exclusive thrillers from best-selling authors, captivating sound design, and dynamic performances, Audible brings these stories to life like never before. And as a member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/WonderyPod or text WonderyPod to 500-500. That's audible.com/WonderyPod or text WonderyPod to 500-500.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
We're back with Malcolm Nance. So you've been watching, you've been catching up on the hearings.
Yeah, I have.
And you think they'll never be prosecuted.
No, I don't believe it at all.
The Oath Keepers, of course, have been indicted for seditious conspiracy. So have the Proud Boys. There seems to be a connection between them and certainly Roger Stone. And to what extent do you believe that we're going to we'll link to Trump directly?
All the evidence they've already laid out is going to show that there, you know, is indicating there's a pathway directly to Trump. The question is, are there documents, documentary evidence? Because on a guy like Trump, any other person who had any dignity and decency would have already resigned and, you know, and confessed to everything and would have gone into silence like Nixon. These people understand the power of lying to 30% of America, and that 30% is armed, and they don't care whether he's a pathological liar or not. They want what he's going to give them, which is a voice for their anger that blacks and Jews and women and Latinos and people who have a liberal bent should hang from ropes. And they say that, Al. They say that. I don't say that. I documented where these people were planning an old strategy that was in the book, The Turner Diaries, of a day called the Day of the Noose. And that's the day that whites who collaborate with blacks and Jews and Latinos would be hung up from street posts on a day of rebellion. Now, granted, let's say that that's 1%, but it's 1% who have an equal megaphone the size of the New York Times when you apply the internet. And these people are motivated to go out and mass murder people in supermarkets. So if you don't think it can happen, it's already happening. But they are now doing the Anders Behring Breivik thing, the guy who shot 69 children to death in Norway. They are communicating how you become a white nationalist hero by writing your manifesto, the call to arms to other whites to come out and mass murder. To take, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if we start seeing Timothy McVeigh did nothing wrong t-shirts here. I've been away for 4 months, so I better start checking on Etsy for that. But we are at the point where the fabric of America, the needlework that held this country together, that sewed the blue field, the white stars, the red stripes, is coming apart because there are people with garden shears and chainsaws thinking only the white parts of that flag apply anymore.
You know, yesterday, I was on the subway, and a guy comes in the car, and there's people that try to sing on the subway, or that say, I'm homeless and I need money. This guy came with a black plastic garbage bag,
okay,
and said, I have knives, tasers, body armor. I mean, he had...
For sale?
Yeah.
Is it in New York?
Yes.
Okay.
He started with tasers.
Tasers.
And then he ended with knives. I remember, like, and I went, are you fucking kidding me? And he went, hey, it's fucking crazy out there.
That's a scene from the movie Escape from New York. And the next thing he should say is, Snake Plissken, I thought you were dead. I mean, this is crazy.
I am not kidding you. He had a black garbage bag. What else did he have in it? He had...
Get your tasers.
Brass knuckles. He had brass knuckles.
Those are illegal, but I like them, actually. My knuckle knife, my World War I style trench knife I carry in Ukraine.
But he had... That's what he had. He had tasers, brass knuckles, and knives. And that's where we're at now. I mean... And like, I turned to someone, the subway is pretty crowded. I just turned to someone. I went, was that like a, you know, a conceptual art piece? What the fuck was that?
Looking for the cameras. Well, you know, America is descending to that point. I mean, you know, we laugh about these things. This is true madness. We're starting to see. People who, you know, like I talk about the plot to kill Governor Gretchen Whitmer. It turns out that that was Plan B. Plan A was to take over the state capitol, let go all the policemen and the Republicans and start holding trials and hanging the bodies of Democrats out of the window. That was Plan A.
That's all I can say.
Yeah.
So the book is out now.
Well, here's why you need to buy the book. All right. Mm-hmm. You know, Republicans buy books for their talismanic effect, right? They don't read them. They put them on the shelves and it's like, Sean Hannity will protect me. This book is raw. Not raw. It's evaluated intelligence. The way that I would have to have evaluated this if it was ISIS or Al-Qaeda coming to get you pre-9/11. And this is the one time you should not avoid a book. Your listeners really must understand how bad it can get and what they can do. And of course, the biggest one is they got to vote, right? Democracy may end this November. End.
We have to vote. Malcolm, thank you. It's always wonderful to have you on. And thank you for doing what you did, going to Ukraine and helping with that effort, and to any of your colleagues over there. And
well, thank you. And all of those efforts over there, if we fail over there, we will fail here. But if we fail here this November, it will fail there. And totalitarianism will rise in the place of democracy. Your listeners have the power to resolve it. I'm just defending with a gun the Ukrainian people. But you can have to defend America here.
Well, I hope you enjoyed listening. That beautiful music is by Leo Kottke, the great Leo Kottke. I want to thank Peter Ogburn for producing this podcast. We'll talk again next week. Hey, Prime members, you can listen to the Al Franken podcast ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
Do you want to hear about the $100 wedding dress that just saved Abercrombie?
Or the tech acquisition that was just like Game of Thrones?
Or the one financial equation that can solve climate change?
Then check out our daily podcast, The Best One Yet, or as we call it, T-Boy.
This is Nick.
This is Jack.
And we pick the three most interesting business news stories every day for the perfect mix.
20 minutes each morning, you're going to feel brighter.
We call it Pop Biz, don't we, Jack?
Where pop culture meets business news. So whether you want to kick off a conversation with your buddies,
or you're going for that promotion at work,
or you just want to know the trends before your friends,
feel brighter by starting your morning with us every weekday.
Listen to the best one yet on the Wondery app or wherever you get your pods.
You can listen to the best one yet ad-free right now on Wondery Plus. For more deep dive and daily business content, listen on Wondery, the destination for business podcasts.
With shows like The Best One Yet, How I Built This, and many more, Wondery means business.
Behind every successful business is a story, and some of them might surprise you. Like how Chobani's first yogurt factory was discovered on a piece of junk mail, or how the founder of the multi-million dollar cosmetics brand Drunk Elephant was told by everyone, including her own mother, that the name sounded like a dive bar. I'm Guy Raz, and on my show How I Built This, I talk to founders behind the world's biggest companies to learn the real stories of how they built them. In each episode, you'll hear entrepreneurs share moments of doubt and failure and talk about how they were able to overcome them on their way to the top. How I Built This is like a masterclass in innovation and creativity from the people who've done it all. Follow How I Built This wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to How I Built This early and ad-free right now on Wondery Plus. For more deep dive and daily business content, listen to Wondery, the destination for business podcasts. With shows like How I Built This, Business Wars, and many more, Wondery means business.